Well, it's good to be here tonight. We sing that song. And at the end, crown him, Lord of all. Most sitting in this room should sing, crown him, what I allow. That's a reality. I mean, that's just a reality. That's not, it's not, you know, pushing stuff too far. It's just a reality in our life. We'll crown him of all things that we allow him to be, you know, to crown him on. Not what he wants from us. I've never been comfortable with what God wants from me. But I know it's the best that he wants from me. And I tell you, sometimes you don't want to sing that crown him, Lord of all, because, man, that's a hard thing to really reconcile in your heart. But I thank God that when we can, you know, I just, for a few minutes here, I'm not going to keep everybody long. I just want to talk about Jesus a little bit.
Amen.
Just want to talk about the Bible, man. You know, what is so wrong about talking about Jesus today? I mean, we got Transgender Visuality Day going on today, and we got Kathy Hochul lighting up the colors for transgenderism. I mean, we have all these things that are going on against God, and we come to church, and you know what we want to do? We ought to worship Jesus.
Amen.
We ought to have sung those songs with our heart, not just with our lips.
Amen.
Hey, come on, let's be real. How many of you sang them songs with your heart for real?
Come on.
There's not much of that going on anymore, Miss Ruth Ann. Why? Because we don't crown him Lord of all. We've not done that. We ought to. We ought to. And so just bear with the message here tonight. Pastor, I'm just going through one of those sweet times in the Bible.
Amen.
God brought us back to Bethel.
Amen.
And God has given us rest. And in that rest, man, he has just opened up the Bible to me. Look, these are personal things. This is something that meant something to me, and I hope to God it means something to you.
Yeah.
Man, when I seen this, I go, my goodness. That's what Jesus Christ done for me.
Yeah.
This is exactly what he has in mind when he's thinking of a lost person. When he's seeking that one that is lost, he's not just empty-headed walking around looking for that. He's not the one that's lost.
Mm-mm.
He has a mission that love has constrained him. Turn with me to 2 Kings. That love has constrained Jesus Christ to go out and seek and to save that which is lost. His love is what put him on the cross, and his soul made an offering for his sin in hell. And the things that he went through and then raised again on that third day. Raised again so that we can have justification. Been just for the first time in my life, I've been justified.
Amen.
That I don't have to stand in front of the judge, God Almighty, and be condemned. Because Jesus Christ took that not only on the cross, but when his soul was made an offering for sin. I get excited when I think about that. When I read of these things of Jesus Christ and what he's done for me, and just can't even believe that he would even do that for me.
Mm-hmm.
You see, people need to personalize Jesus Christ.
Right.
He saved us. Yep. But let me just tell you, you ought to think about he's done that to you for you personally.
Amen.
I think of you often, John Mark, in my prayers, and you and Samantha. It's not like I don't anybody else. Every one of you have a time that I pray. But your salvation has just meant a lot to me, brother.
Amen.
It just has meant a lot to me. And you know why, man. I love John Mark to death. I love all of you in a special way, especially Timmy in a very special way. But John Mark, I think of you often, my friend, and I praise God for what he's done and with you and your wife and now your Ruth Anna. You know I pray for Ruth Anna's salvation already? I pray for her salvation already. I pray for Taryn's salvation. I pray for your grandchildren's salvation. Why? We have to wait for them to be born?
No.
We ought to be praying for those that we know. We ought to be praying for their salvation if they're not saved. Why? It's not going to hurt nothing. 2 Kings, chapter 25. 2 Kings, chapter 25. Today, personally, it's been a heavy day for me. I just can't seem to find my words, and I can't seem to find God in some things. I'm not saying he's not been in the messages. It's just one of those struggles that you go through as a preacher. You just run into this thing, and you go, man, what's going on? You just have to press on. You just got to go with what you believe God has given you. It's just been, we just came, when we came out of that meeting, Pastor, when we were in that meeting, me and my family went through a spiritual hell, man. I mean, unlike anything before, if I sat down and just told you of what we went through, it was just terrible for 4 days. Now, the meeting was good. The meeting was good, the people was good, but what we went through to get there, what we went through to be there was terrible. And I'm trying to pull my family out of this now. I'm still trying to pull my family out of it now. It's still some repercussions in there. And trying to get my family out of that and trying to dig us back out of that thing and then try to be a preacher and then try to run liberty behind bars and stuff. That could take a toll on a man. But that's the responsibility Timotheus asked with that God has given you. And you're about to endeavor in that.
Amen.
John Mark. Well, when that baby's born, son, it's a whole different ball game. You know, Mr. Ruthann, nobody wants to be that man anymore. Nobody wants to be that man that God has ordained us to be as saved men. I personally enjoy it.
Amen.
It's hard. But I tell you, you know what? That makes me worth something to somebody.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
That makes God pleased with what we do. And as that man trying to lead that family, it makes me happy. Good times, bad times. All right. He says, what? Preach. Be instant. In season, out of season.
Yep. Amen.
Pete, I remember you telling me that a few weeks ago. You said you should be just ready to preach all the time. And I am. But doesn't mean I'm in season. Doesn't mean I'm in season. Doesn't mean that I have it. And so bear with me as I share something personal with you that it touched me. And maybe it's just somewhere to touch you. Lost person, you know you're lost in here. Or saved people. Saved people, this would be an encouragement to you.
Amen.
Or an exhortation. Woo! Hey, but you know what? Thank God for men of God who bring that stuff about. Man. Just
right.
Bring it out to us and let us get that right. You know what I mean? And so here we go. And look at 2 Kings 25. And I want to start in verse 27. We'll read down through verse 30. 2 Kings 25 and verse 27. It says, and it came to pass in the 37th year of captivity of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, in the 12th month, on the 27th day of the month, that evil Merodach, king of Babylon, in the year that he began to reign, did lift up the head of Jehoiakim, king of Judah. Where did he lift him out of?
Out of prison.
Woo! I don't know about you, but when Jesus Christ stepped into my life, he took me from my own. Hey, you don't have to be in prison to be doing time.
That's right.
And Jesus Christ reached down in the depths of what I was in, and he pulled me out of that prison of sin.
Amen.
Amen.
Look what it goes on here to say in verse 28. And he spoke kindly to him. Boy, Pastor, that day I got saved, Jesus Christ started speaking kindly to me. It wasn't that hard, grievous conviction anymore. It was the sweet voice of this. You ready? Here's them words. Peace be still.
Yeah.
Woo! Hey, if you ain't heard the words peace be still, you ain't got to Jesus yet. But I'll tell you one thing. He wants to speak that to the storm in your life.
Amen.
He wants to speak that to you when you're a lost person. He wants you to know that there's peace beyond anything. And when he speaks it, I'll tell you what, it's a whole different ball game.
Hallelujah.
You smoke all the dope in the world you want, ain't going to bring the peace like Jesus does. I'm just saying, man. There ain't a drug in this world, John Mark. There ain't a sexual anything in this world. There ain't nothing in this world compared to serving Jesus Christ. Good times or bad.
Amen.
We've been through it the last 13 years, but there ain't nothing like it. Let me tell you, the suffering compared to what I suffered outside of Jesus Christ, there is nothing compared to it.
Amen.
Amen.
And God in his mercy, Luke, reached down and he pulled me out of that prison.
Amen.
He broke that. You know why? He broke that cycle so you didn't have to live in it.
Amen.
What a glorious God to break that cycle in the Morgan family. So that my family didn't have to live those things. And he reached down into prison. And you know what it says, John Mark? He spoke kindly to me.
Amen.
My goodness, do you know what that's like to have somebody speak kindly to you when you didn't deserve it?
Amen.
I didn't deserve the kindness of Christ. I didn't deserve that peace be still. But in his mercy,
Amen.
He spoke kindly to him. And he set his throne above the throne of kings that were with him in Babylon. You see that? Christ brought me from here. And now he has set me up here. And guess where the Bible says that I'm seated in the heavenlies. Yes.
Amen.
Ain't that wonderful?
Amen.
That God would bring somebody like me out of the gutters and then seat me next to him. My goodness, what a wonderful thing to be brought from so low to being so high in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And we see here that it says he set his throne above the thrones of with the kings of Babylon. And he changed, in verse 29, he changed his prison garments. He took away those old nasty garments, those stinky, defiled garments, laden with sin. And laden, he took those things away and he gave him new clothes.
Amen.
When Jesus Christ saved me, he gave me a new set of clothes. He put me in my right mind. And I thank God for that. But look on, it goes on and it says, and he did eat bread continually before him all the days of his life. And his allowance was a continual allowance given to him of a king, a daily rate for every day and all the days of his life. Regardless for good or bad, for the rest of my life on this earth, I get to eat of the bread of life continually.
Amen.
Regardless of, now I'm just going to say something here that freaks a lot of churches out. But I'm not worried about how they freak out. But Trump is not the Savior.
That's right.
Trump is not the Savior. He's not going to come in and swoop in and be this hero on this white horse and can't going to be flapping. That's not going to happen.
Uh-huh.
I just tell you, churches don't like when I say that, but I'm just saying they're looking to the wrong person for a Savior.
That's right.
It's not going to get any better. I don't care who's in office. Yeah, he may come in and mellow some things out and maybe turn a few things around. But look at, man, we're still heading in the end times. We're still going. Yeah. There's no stopping it. But everybody's looking for this comfort of the world.
Right.
Everybody's looking for this little band-aid that they can put on very quickly and just get this quick emotional fix real quick. Because emotionally, I need a charge. Emotionally, I need this. And that's why they're so driven by emotional music and emotional talk and emotional this. Because all they're looking for is emotionalism. You'll hear them talk over and over again. I need help. I'll say, well, here is your help. And they'll say, you know what? I don't want that help. All they wanted was sympathy. Somebody to feel emotional for them. I can guarantee you this one thing, Nathan. We are not going to be emotional to those women coming in the home. They don't need somebody driving their emotion. They need somebody to stand up and preach the truth to them and hold their hand. Hey, man, God can speak rough to us. It'll change a person's life. How do I say this nicely? Them girls by the system have been nothing but fondled. Mm-hmm. They've been played with. It's not changed anything about them, John Mark. It's not touched their heart, Samantha. They're just being used and abused and put back out there. Mm-hmm. Just a few weeks ago, this one girl we're working with, she's never coming home. We've been working with her since she's been in the county jail. Her mother committed suicide. Her sister's out there. She's been sold to every dealer that her mother came across. Every gang member that came in the house has had her since she was a little kid. And she meets this young man. And this young man promises to be her knight in shining armor. And he's selling dope and she's riding that dope train. And she's getting all the money and the jewels and, man, it looks real good. And then all of a sudden it collapses. And now they have nothing. So they have to turn to armed robberies. They have to turn to burglaries. I know how it goes. I did it in my own life. And she turned to that stuff. And here's what happened. They end up kidnapping a friend of theirs and killing him. Brought him down to Florida, stole his car, and burned him in the car. She's never coming home. She texted me and Amy on JPay the other day. And she said, I'm done. I can't take it anymore. She goes, I walked into the room and my friend was dangling from the ceiling.
Oh, no.
That's because everybody promised them this emotional relief constantly, this fleshly relief that never came, ever. I don't care how much medicine they get put on. I don't care how much they go into a rehab or a mental hospital. Jeremiah, he's got 25 charges. He should be going away for a long time. They're going to give him 3 years and put him in shock camp again. Shock camp didn't work for him the first time. It ain't going to work the second. And that's what they keep doing. Your brother's going to get caught up in the same nonsense. They're never going to help people like that. But do we go out there and tell them what Jesus Christ can do for them? Not your little religious, well, look at Jesus can do. No, I'm talking about the truth in it and being bold about telling them about what Christ has really done for you, where he's really brought you from.
Amen.
Uh-huh. It was hearing where God brought a man called Pastor John Ashers, where God had brought him from, that piqued my interest. It wasn't the man. I have no offense against Pastor. I love that man to death. But I didn't come to church because I was interested in the man.
That's right.
But I was interested in what he had.
That's right.
How many people this week have been interested in what you have?
Come on.
Uh-huh.
That's a reality. What are they seeing in you?
Amen.
What on God's green earth is attracting them to that Jesus Christ that is inside of you?
Right.
Most of the time we're repelling them.
Right.
Don't ask me where that came from, but have at it. Somebody need to hear it.
Amen.
But it says here continually.
Yep.
Man, I'm just saying, wouldn't it be wonderful to see the unsaved people that are sitting in this room tonight eating just like he has? The kind words being spoke to their hearts. And that they can see that the bread of life has come to them to eat continually the rest of their days.
Amen.
I know that's my prayer.
Amen.
Trapped in a prison of seeking. I said it this morning. A lot of people turn seeking into a religion.
Uh-huh.
Let me just say this. Who do you think the first person people get bitter at when they can't get saved?
Yeah.
It's always God. And God is, it's not even God's fault. But that's the very first place they turn. It's on God. The very one who wants to save them. The very one who's done everything on planet to do to save them. He chose the cross. He chose his soul in hell. He went through all that he went through. Why did he go through all that? He died for you when you're an enemy.
Right.
Let me just say that one more time. He didn't die for you when you became friendly.
Right.
He didn't die for you when you were in your Bible seeking him.
Right.
When you were sitting in church. But when you were his very enemy, he died for you. But yet, in the bitterness of seeking, we get angry at God for not saving you. It's not in God. It's in the person, the individual. Well, I want you to turn with me to Mark chapter 5. Pray for me up here. Just pray for me. We see that this man was set on high, that God reached down into prison. He took those prison garments off of him, put on those new clothes, and fed him for the rest of his life. What a wonderful blessing that is, that we get to have that here.
Amen.
That God can reach down. I'm not talking about living a life as a convict like I was in and out of prison. I'm talking about you being in your own prison of sin.
Uh-huh.
And God coming out and changing them garments.
Right.
What a wonderful. Hey, these new clothes fit real well. They fit real good, brother. I'll tell you what, man. I praise God every single morning that I get up, good or bad, man, through my clenched teeth. I just praise God. I praise God sitting there reading my Bible. I raise my hands in silence because my wife is sleeping in the bed behind me. I'm like, I want to wake her up, you know. Woo! But I'm just saying, it's been sweet for me in the Bible.
Amen.
And God has been showing me some things that I've been loving that. So look at Mark chapter 5. Look at this. Mark chapter 5, we're going to read verses. We're just going to skip around the verses. I'm going to show you a few things here and then move on. Mark chapter 5, verse 1, it says, "And they came over to the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out in verse 2 of the ship, immediately it met him a man out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs." Now, this is my testimony on the pages in the book of the Bible. This is me. This describes me to an absolute T. And when God showed me this, it wasn't long ago that God showed me this. Dale, this was you. That king there that raised that other king up, Dale, that was you. I raised you up from that. I changed your prison garment. I took you out of prison. And now I'm feeding you with what I feed you. And now I'm sustaining you out of those things that I sustain you with. And I tell you what, that brought joy to my heart. That brought happiness to me.
Amen.
Hey, going on 13 years, I still haven't lost the excitement of being saved. We can go through hard times, but I'll tell you what, man. God, when he pulls you out of the other side, you realize what happened.
Amen.
It's joyous, man.
Amen.
Well, look what he says here. Who had his dwelling, verse 3, among the tombs. That's prison. And no man could bind him. No, not with chains. And you can ask my mother. Nobody could bind me. Nobody could stop me from doing those things that I did. I wasn't afraid of chains. I wasn't afraid of being bound. Matter of fact, I'd reach my arm out and say, go ahead. You're going to put me in jail. Let's just get going. I wasn't afraid to go to jail or prison. Just what I did. But you know what? Being bound never changed me, Greg.
Yeah, that's right.
No matter how much they were going to lock me up, it would not change my heart.
Mm-hmm.
It was more just an outward binding. It was an inward bounding. It was being a prisoner on the inside.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody wants to change the outward things. Oh, I got to get rid of the drinking. Oh, I got to get rid of the smoking. Oh, I got to get rid of this. Man, that's nothing for God to change. That's the easiest thing in the world for God to change. What he's got to do, he's got to get on the inside to get rid of the stuff on the outside.
Right.
Amen.
Trying to pull that stuff backwards. Well, let me change the outside first and then hope the inside changes. Fool me on all that nonsense almost sent me to hell.
Right. Yeah.
I got to get this out of my life. I got to get that out of my life. I got to do this and I got to do that. No, just stop and let Jesus do it. Just stop and let him show you what it's going to take.
Uh-huh.
Bound in that tomb, no man could bind him. In verse 4, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him. You see that? Nobody was keeping me bound. Nobody was going to stop me. I was going to go out there and do what I wanted to do. I was going to go out there and live whatever way I wanted to. Nothing was going to change my mind. And it goes on and he says, and the fetters had broken, they were asunder by him, and the fetters broken into pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, and he was crying and cutting himself with stones. All the tragedy of the cutting that's going on today with these young people. I mean, the older people, they're all cutting themselves. Why? Because they're filled with an unclean spirit and don't even know it. This man's filled with unclean spirits and he's cutting himself. And you know what Pastor, do you know what they're looking for when they cut themselves? Relief!
Right, yeah.
But guess what they never get? Relief.
Yeah.
Relief. You don't know how many people we work with that are cutters. It just tear your heart out. It'll tear your heart out watching the things you go through and watching Kim. Now she's watched her that person swing and she hung up in the cell. That girl just said, there's no more hope. There's no hope. And you sitting here thinking there's no hope for you? She has no hope.
Right.
Right.
She does. There's no more seeking for her.
No.
She got to that point, Pastor, where she said there's just no more hope. And she probably wasn't saved. I know that stuff may not bother you, but it tears my heart out to know that somebody got to that point in their life, John Mark, that they really got to that point where they were hopeless. So hopeless. Could you imagine living a life where you thought there's no hope for me, so that is it. And you walk up there and you just hang yourself. Hang yourself. You know what that takes to hang yourself?
Right.
It takes a person with absolute emptiness, brokenness, and no hope.
Yep.
None.
Yep.
Not an ounce of hope, Pastor, was left in that girl. And there she is, swinging, alone. She died by herself.
Yep.
And most likely in hell, Brother Tim.
That's right.
My God.
That's
right. That stuff just gets to me. You know, these people are cutting themselves today. You know what I tell them? I said, look, they need the feeling. They need that motion, right? They need all that. I said, instead of taking something and cutting yourself with something sharp, I said, why don't you take a pencil eraser? Take that eraser and rub your arm, rub your leg. And you know what? It's worked for a few people. They've stopped cutting themselves by using an eraser. They're looking for that emotional release of hurting themselves, but an eraser is not going to hurt them. It might leave a little burn or something, but it's not cutting them and leaving them scarred up. Do you know what that's like?
Yeah.
You're hearing it right here described in the Bible.
Yeah.
The reality is this story here in Mark chapter 5 is a reality of what's happening to people today.
Mm-hmm.
It's going on in their lives. It's been going on. And let me tell you, how do we work with them? Well, look at this. Look at this. It says always night and day in the mountains in verse 5 and in the tombs and cutting themselves with stones. And look what it said. I want you to see verse 6. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and he worshipped him. Why in the God? Why did this man run and worship Jesus? Well, I got two things. Number one, the devils know who God is. The devils know who Jesus was.
Yep.
Number two, I believe this man dabbled in religion.
Uh-huh.
And I believe he heard. Up in those tombs, cutting himself, he heard what Jesus Christ was doing down below. And when Jesus Christ came, he ran to him. Would to God we can get people in that condition to Jesus.
Amen.
Would to God, Miss Ruth Ann, that they would understand that if they would come out of those tombs, come out of those chains, all that stuff that is binding them, all those things that they're doing to try to get relief, and just come to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Get out of religion. Leave religion alone. Leave religion in the past. And that's one thing God has had me working on in prison here, even more so in the last 6 to 8 months, is to really buckle down on that jailhouse religion nonsense.
Yeah.
It's sending these people to hell.
Yep.
The spiritual battle, it gets tiring. Because it's over and over and over. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people screaming for something. Screaming. And Miss Samantha, somebody comes in with their foolishness. Somebody comes in with their nonsense. Somebody comes in and inoculates them against the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do you know what it takes to tear all that down? This person came. And he worshiped Jesus Christ. And look what it says here in verse 7. And he cried with a loud voice and he said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. And for he said, come out of that man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there were there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought Jesus. Ain't that something? They besought him.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted something from Jesus Christ. Look what they want. They besought him. Where is it? Now they were nigh unto the mountain, a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine that we may enter into them. You know what that is? Unclean things like unclean things.
That's right.
I'll tell you right now, the unsaved world is going to the unsaved world for help and it's not working.
No.
Christians are turning to the unsaved world for help and it's not working.
Right.
Unclean things attract unclean things.
Uh-huh.
Right.
If you go, why is that weirdo following me? Because you're unclean and it's following you.
No.
I'm just telling you, that happens. I travel around enough in churches, and I'm just telling you, when them unclean spirits get on me, and they get on me, man, the weirdos and knuckleheads that come up to me, I'm like, where is this coming from, man? Go try and preach. Go try and play music. Not right with God.
Uh-huh.
It's unclean.
Yep.
I don't take lightly getting behind this pulpit. Look, I am not an eloquent speaker. I am not this, you know, big-time preacher. I'm not any of those things. This is who I am. But I'll tell you one thing, John Mark. Every time I get behind the pulpit, you see me praying in my seat because I take it serious what I preach. I don't care. Look, I may make all the mistakes in the world up here preaching, but I tell you what, there's something you can get from this.
Amen. Amen.
You can't sit there, Peter, and preach the Word of God and not get something unless your heart's not in it. That's a reality. It's the Bible. It's the King James Bible. It's what we preach.
Amen.
It's God's Word.
Yes.
I believe that with all my heart. I believe that. I believe there were many times that I sat there in space as the preacher was preaching, and I could not shake hearing the Word of God. I wanted to shake that. I didn't want the conviction. I was so bitter with God. I said, just leave me alone. Stop convicting me. If you're not going to save me, then stop convicting me. Because it's not working. Nothing's going on. But I thank God he didn't stop. I thank God it got worse.
Right. Amen.
It got worse for me. Let me tell you, it got worse for me and worse for me. It didn't get better for me until I got saved.
Amen.
I thank God for it. I thank God for that conviction. Well, I lost my place now. Look at 7 through 9. I read that.
Verse 13.
Yes, verse 13. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea, that there were about 2,000. Ain't that 2,000? Man, that's some unclean spirits.
Mm.
Do you know that that many unclean spirits can come in us?
Mm-hmm.
People don't believe that. People don't even believe that we can be bothered by unclean spirits. That's a lie. That's a lie from the pits of hell.
That's right.
Take it from somebody who goes into the pits of hell in jail and prison. And when I leave that place, I'm loaded with them.
Yep.
I can't even keep my eyes open. They have worn me out. You know why? Most. Pastor, why 90% of other chaplains and that don't get bothered? Because they're on the same team.
Come on.
I go against it. Pastor, why do you think they don't like us going in there? We're not on that team. We are the total opposite of what they are. And then, look at them spirits aren't going to mess with them guys. Yeah, come on in, preach your nonsense. Yeah, come on, just hand out everything. Yeah, just come on and do your little fluffy stuff. Then we come in preaching that Bible. Bam! A battle wakes. I mean, a battle comes out. It comes out, man. It's alive. It's going. It's raging.
Yeah.
It's heavy. Standing there preaching the Word of God to those men and women. It's not a joke. It's a serious matter. And you got to get in with the Word. You got to be right with God yourself. You just can't go in there playing games.
Uh-huh.
Same with the preaching, Tim and Pete. They're going to have times where you're going to be where you're up here like me struggling. But that's a battle.
Yeah.
There's a battle raging. We can either stand up and be men, or we can just say, you know what? I've messed this up. I'm going to go ahead and sit down and I'm done. No, that's not how it goes. God has called you in these last days for a reason. There's a purpose for you young men getting saved that's when you've right, gotten right. saved. There's a purpose for that, John Mark.
Yeah.
Don't you think that for one second? Yeah, you may not think you're called to preach, but God's got something for you in these days.
Yeah.
That's a reality. I believe that with all my heart.
Amen.
Well, I got to get to the point. Well, and look at verse. Let's drop down to verse 17. After the devils went out, verse 17 says, and they began to pray to depart out of their coast. And when he had come into the ship, he had been possessed with the devils, prayed him that he might be with him. You see what happened when this man got saved? He didn't run from church. He didn't run from Jesus. He ran to him. He wanted to be with Jesus. Now you lead somebody into the prayer and you can't even find them to get them in church.
Uh-huh.
That man got cleaned up. And what's the first thing he wanted? Jesus.
Amen.
He hasn't even seen his family and friends. You go, how do you know he has family and friends? Because I'm going to read you the verse where it tells him to go back to his friends and family.
Amen.
He wanted to be with Jesus above all things. And I remember after I got saved, that became my heart. I wanted to be with Jesus above all things. There was nothing. more comforting, nothing more peaceful. And this man gets saved here. And it says, can I go with you? And he prayed him that he might be with him. And in verse 19, it says, howbeit Jesus suffered him not. But he saith, go home to tell thy friends and tell how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and how he has had compassion on thee. Jesus and his compassion. Isn't that wonderful that Jesus Christ can have compassion on somebody?
Amen.
It's not like he didn't go through enough of what he went through, but now he's got compassion on people. When people came in contact with Jesus Christ, they did not leave the same.
No.
They left different. When a person comes in contact with Jesus, Tim, Pete, John Mark, Samantha, you guys came in contact with Jesus. You left differently.
Yes,
you
sir.
Did not leave the same.
Yes, sir. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Well, why ain't that happening for these other guys?
Uh-oh.
What kind of Jesus are they preaching?
Yeah.
Why isn't this Jesus they so-called proclaim changing these people's lives? And there's a lot that we have to endure in today's day and age. Daniel, Joseph, and many other people worked around today's governments and so on and so forth, but never compromised on their God. You men better learn how to do that.
Amen.
Amen.
I have to go in there and I have to work with a man in a certain jail on a Wednesday who does not believe the same way I believe.
Yep.
But in order for me to be able to get into that jail, I just have to slide in there with him.
Yeah, that's right.
And never compromise.
That's right.
I preach that King James Bible right down the line with him standing right there. And he knows where I stand.
Amen.
But you know what? He likes it. he likes it. He gets up. He says, I've never seen the effect on the inmates like when you come in and preach. I said, you know why? I preach that Bible.
That's right.
Yeah.
There's nothing. I don't go in there with, you know, notes and all that kind of stuff. Stop doing that. God took that from me. God just gave me some verses. Go preach them. I'm like, all right. But what happened? But look what happens. Let me find a verse here. I need to see. Look at here. Verse 15. What happens when this man, it says, and they came to Jesus. He's talking about the religious people. The people that are around, the religious people come in, it says, and they came to Jesus, and they seen him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion. And what was he doing? He was sitting and he was clothed. And he was in his right mind. And what's it say? And they were afraid. Why were they afraid of this man's changed life? Because it challenged their salvation. When people see me get up and preach, and I preach this Bible, they get angry. I just had a man approach me in the last church that we were in. And he came up to me and he goes, you need to stop all that. Quiet down. Stop doing. I said, in my head, I go, he's just under conviction.
Yeah.
He's an older man who come under Holy Ghost conviction and could not handle it. I seen it another time in West Virginia. This older lady came up to me, and man, she let me have it. And I go, well, she's just under conviction.
Yeah.
They're angry, and they don't know how to handle it. The man had hearing aids, Pastor. He could have just turned them down.
That's right.
But the problem wasn't hearing. The problem, he's under conviction.
That's right.
He was angry. He was afraid. And I'm just going to tell you this. When you go into a church and you stay true to this Bible, it will make people angry at you.
Yeah.
Why? Because it will challenge their salvation.
That's right.
It will challenge where they stand with Jesus Christ. And people ought to examine themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying you have to doubt your salvation, but you ought to go in there and examine yourself. What's the worst you're going to find, Tim? Jesus?
Jesus.
And if he's not there, you can get him there.
Amen.
Better than going to hell thinking you're saved.
Amen.
I just don't play the games, man. I mean, get in there and see it.
Amen.
Well, I don't. I'm not. That's it. I'm not gonna have time to really get anywhere else. There was a few verses I wanted to get to. I'm gonna turn to one more, and then we'll close up. Galatians chapter 5. Two more verses. I just see. It's one you gave me, Pastor. And I love it. I think the people. Turn. Yeah, Galatians chapter 5. And then hold your finger there, and then we're going to turn back to Zephaniah. Turn back to Zephaniah. And then I'm going to close up from there. Here, to Zephaniah chapter 3. And then we'll go to Galatians after. Look what it says here. Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 17. Love it. Pastor John showed me it, and I fell in love with it. Look what it says in Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will. That is God's will, lost person.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Yep.
That right there tells you what God's will and what he wants. Amen. The problem is you don't believe that his will is to save you. Because if you did, you'd be saved. That's a reality. Belief in your Bible demands an action. Go study it out. Go look up all 284 or 234 times somewhere in there where that word believe is used. And I'm telling you right now, every single time a person believes, it demands an action. You know what happens? They move to Jesus when they believe. They don't go from him. They don't stay where they're at, Pastor. When they believe that Jesus Christ can change them, they go to him. Ain't that something, John Mark? If a person believes, they should be moving towards Jesus, not away. Don't stand still.
Right.
Get to him.
Right.
Yes. He's already moved. I came to seek and to save that which is lost. He's already going. So you're going to come in the middle. If you're doing exactly what the Bible says, you're going to meet Jesus.
Yep.
It's inevitable. Look what he says. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. Hallelujah. He'll rejoice over that sinner that comes. Ain't that something? What a wonderful thing to think that God Almighty will rejoice over you. And look, it says he will rest in his love. And here it is. And he will joy over thee with singing. Do you know God will sing over that sinner that comes to repentance?
Amen.
Man. If that don't make you want to sing and shout for joy, I don't know what does. Hallelujah. I thank God for that. Look at Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1, and we're closing. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Stand fast. That means don't be movable. God has taken you from a place. He's giving you new garments. He's giving you the bread of life to eat. He's giving you new life. He's giving you that new joy. He's giving you peace. And now look what he says here. He says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty. The liberty. Do you know the liberty that we have in Jesus Christ? There is free. Look, if you're bound, if you say that you're saved and you're bound, you're not. You don't have the same liberty that I have. You got a different liberty. All that liberty did is take you from one prison and put you in another one.
Yeah.
I have liberty in Jesus Christ. What liberty? To live according to this Bible. Hey, let me just say, there's times it can be hard, but what a liberty when you come out the other side. What a freedom you have. You get rid of all that stuff. It's gone.
Amen.
He says, stand in that.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
What a wonderful liberty. He says, stand therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath set you free. Oh, no. When you're saved and born again, he gives you something you've never had. He gives you a freedom. Well, I'll tell you, there's a freedom that you can enjoy, liberty. Man, that liberty is a different freedom. I'm telling you what, you can come out of jail 100 million times and it's not going to compare to that liberty that Jesus Christ gives you at salvation, at deep breath. I remember coming out of prison all those years ago, and I remember just going, oh, and breathing a different air. But I'll tell you what, when I got saved, I breathed in a different air. That Holy Ghost stepped inside of me and it gave me that liberty. I took a deep breath like I never did in my life, and I just kept going forward. Why? Because he's given me liberty in that thing.
Amen.
I enjoy my liberty in Christ with you, my love. Going on 22 years together. Could you imagine that pastor, that God would keep two people like me and Amy together? With all the brokenness and all the defiledness and everything else, there's no hope for them.
Amen.
Oh, who are we to tell who has hope and not have hope?
Amen.
Who are we to look at people and say, there is no hope for that person? Shame on you. Shame. God didn't give you liberty to do that. I'm done. Look it. He said, God hath made us free. And be not entangled again with what? The yoke of bondage. My goodness, thank God for that. Ephesians 1:6 says, you know what Jesus Christ did? He made us accepted in the beloved.
Amen.
He made us accepted in the beloved.
Amen.
He didn't set me in the beloved. He made me. That means he gave me something that I never had. I was never accepted in the beloved until I got saved. And then when I got saved, not only did he give me that liberty, but he made me accepted in the beloved. Hallelujah. Why? Because I like to be accepted in the beloved.
Yes, sir.
It's exciting. Well, that's what I have. I am done. Whoever's got their recorders up here, I'm done. Gotta shut my mouth. Because if I don't, I'll keep preaching.
Wish you would.